Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we have our culmination episode of Align with Divine. We've taken a look at the divine in a variety of ways. We connected with the divine that's within us and around us. We've taken a look at deities, goddesses, and gods, other forms of divinity. We've connected with the elements, earth, air, fire, water, spirit. And we've taken a look at nature spirits. Well, tonight, we're going to explore another form of the divine, and one perhaps that some would not automatically put into that category. We're taking a look at spiritual communities. Why are spiritual communities a form of the divine? It is not only the sum of the humans taking part in the communities, but through their connection, there is this synergy that emerges, and a divine form that I often call the group spirit that emerges as communities come together and connect. Now, spiritual communities can take a lot of different forms, and we're going to take a look at some of those tonight. I'm also going to share some other ways of looking at spiritual community across time and in traditional ways. I invite all of you who are listening live via the CSNP, that's Circle Sanctuary's internet radio, and all of you who are joining through Facebook live stream through my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page, to take a few moments now and align with the divine with the focus of spiritual communities. We honor the divine that's within us and that connects us with others. We honor spiritual community, spiritual communities that we are part of now, spiritual communities that we have been part of in the past, whether we're still connected with them or not. And we honor spiritual communities in our lives that are yet to come. We honor the spiritual community convergence that's happening through this very podcast. Indeed, as humans gather together with a focus on spirituality, the very convergence sets in motion a sacred connection and a sacred form that is all of us together plus. We call on the divine that's within community to watch over us, to be with us, to guide us now and in times to come. So be it. So I invite you now to take a few moments and call to mind, what's connected with spiritual community when you hear that term. When you've been with a spiritual community, in person, or through tales, through meditation, what has been your experience of the community essence, of the community as a whole? And for those of you who are watching on Facebook, if you have a word or a phrase that comes to you, I invite you to put that in the chat. And for those of you who are listening, I invite you to make a note of that. You might jot it down for yourself. A spiritual community is a presence. It's a presence that can help the individuals with their interfacing with each other and with the divine in one or more forms. For spiritual communities that do ritual together, that send out prayers, that do workings, that essence of the group as a whole gets activated as the group comes together and joins through some ceremonial practice. It might be through chanting. It might be through meditation. It might be through movement, maybe through a whole variety of things. Some spiritual communities have very set rituals, and each time the community comes together and does the ritual, that is part of the connecting essence. One of the beauties of having set rituals, or a variant of that, is ritual structure, ritual form, that as people gather and seek to connect together, that form is part of what gives them common ground and to allows that extra community divine spark to emerge, to be present. As I grew up back in the 1950s, I had an experience with spiritual community within my own household setting. My family had things that we did together and prayed together, sang together, reflected together, and we were part of a larger group, a Christian church, and we would take part in activities together. So our group, our own household spiritual community, family group, was part of this much larger spiritual community that not only met together on Sundays, but on other days of the week as well. It was during my early upbringing experiences with the divine that I came to get a sense of community and that sense of people gathered together with a spiritual foundation. And it was then when I felt a calling to do ministry as part of my life. I was quite young at the time. Now, I didn't realize until I got into my teenage years and continued to have a sense of going forth and helping people, doing ministry as part of my work in this life, that in the particular religious sector, which had been my spiritual home, I was the wrong gender. Indeed, only men were ordained and could be ministers. Well, that's a whole other story, but essentially, I knew that I needed to be true to that calling. And as I moved into my late teen years and early 20s, I found my place in nature spirituality, calling it at first pantheism and later paganism and the craft. And as I explored a variety of spiritual traditions, not only pagan traditions, but I was able, through my work for social justice, for civil rights, racial equality, women's equality, gender equality, and my environmental work, I came to realize the power of humankind as we gather in groups and work for the greater good. So the first time I had an experience of spiritual community ritual experience was the very first public pagan ritual that I did. I was president of Eta Sigma Phi, a classics honor society, which was on campus, and also it started the Classics Club, and had a sense that it would be great to experience the classics by actually doing something ritualistic. The entire faculty in the department, the classics department, thought that that was an interesting idea, and indeed, some graduate students, some undergraduates, and I and the professors all went forth in Greco-Roman dress. Yes, togas and tunics and ivy crowns in our hair. Went forth to the center of campus, and I facilitated a rite of spring, having done some research with the help of faculty and others. And we called on the divine during that ceremony. Well, even before we did the divine calling, the deity calling, I felt the sense of us coming together for this ceremony and the power of us all coming and experimenting with this together. That fueled creativity. And indeed, from that moment onward and up until the present day, I have found a really important way of facilitating ceremonies is to tune into group spirit, to get a sense of the unity of the group, the sense of the individuals, but also the group as a whole, to tune into that, to communicate with that intuitively, and get a sense for timing, for how much to keep to what has been planned, and sometimes to insert additional things. I see myself not so much me as a person deciding, but me as a facilitator receiving the spiritual resonance of those who have come together, and also tuning into the sacred forms that we have been working with, that we invoke, that we pray to, that we sing to. So for myself, I see myself as being the way and a means for the group to help pull all of that together, to connect the humans with each other and to connect the humans with the group spirit that we're creating together, as well as the divine forms that we are working with in the particular ceremony. Indeed, in that very first public pagan ritual, when I called to Dionysus and Mother Earth in the original language, Greek for Dionysus, and I used Latin Terra for Mother Earth, I felt a real surge as I resonated with the divinities and as I guided the group activity. So for me, it was not just resonating with divinities, but resonating with the group as a whole, also making that contact. Over the years, I have had opportunities to connect with people from a variety of different spiritual communities and traditions as part of my pagan networking work, and as part of my international interreligious work as well. I've gone to conferences, I've gone to meetings, I've been part of organizations that's converged diversity. And I've had wonderful experiences being able to talk with ministers and spiritual leaders, practitioners from not only different religions and philosophies and spiritualities, but from different countries, from different cultures, and with the help of interpreters, those with different languages. I have found that this idea of group spirit, of spiritual tradition, is its own kind of sacred resonance. And when you bring together into a large group spiritual communities and members of different traditions, and then they are all forming a much larger community, there is tremendous power and possibility as that happens. I've had the honor and the pleasure of being part of the Parliament of the World's Religions since its centennial reemergence in 1993. The first one was held in Chicago in 1893 as part of the Columbia Exposition, essentially a world's fair in the Victorian era. 100 years later, it came to be again, and Circle Sanctuary, the spiritual community that I helped birth and helped facilitate with the help of others, was one of 200 spiritual communities and religious organizations that sponsored that centennial parliament. And since that time, the parliament happens every few years, as Circle Sanctuary has become part of that, and I've had the opportunity to speak at many of these gatherings, I can tell you that our community has grown as a result of being part of this much larger community. And I've seen really powerful changes that's happened with the diversity convergence, and indeed how time is shared, what kinds of voices are doing workshops and facilitating ceremonies. The amount of pagan presence has increased over the years, and one of the real wonderful things that has happened in more recent parliaments, there's been a real effort to equalize, to have an equal number of women and men doing presentations on the main stage for plenaries as well as workshops. And I do think that any community would do well to acknowledge that there is an essence that is the group spirit that comes together as a community forms and grows and develops. Whether you choose to actually invoke that form of the divine in ritual, in prayer, in meditation, and some other spiritual practice or not, is pretty much up to you and the traditions and groups that you're part of. I do think it's important, though, to have the awareness that it exists, and indeed, part of what I've developed over the years as a way of connecting with the essence of spiritual community is to use collective voice, to have people join together what I call a free form chant. Singing a single note, or what can get really interesting and beautiful, to have many voices weaving together in harmony. I find that the joining of voices and singing, and for people of all types of vocal experience, including people that don't really consider themselves singers, when you are in a mass gathering, or even a small one, you can find your voice resonating with other voices And that's what I call the attunement method. You attune to the divine in a more universal sense, but by all of you joining together, each in your own way, you also are activating the group spirit. In the interfaith gatherings that I've been to, I have found amazing phenomena happening as we gather, and the parliament conferences tend to be about a week long. They're multi-day, multi-night events, and people come from all over the world to the particular host city where that's at, and as people gather, the amount of what's known as synchronicity happening, and serendipity, another word, of looking at the fortunate things that happen as you make magic together, whether you call it magic or not. And indeed, at the last parliament that I was at, last one that was held, which was 2018 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I found, even headed to the airport going home, that many of the people on the plane had all been at that gathering. And even though the gathering had officially ended at that point, that resonance, that shared spirit that we had together permeated the plane, including people that weren't even there. We found ourselves connecting with each other, sharing experiences. In fact, flight attendants remarked to me as I was getting on, and they were noticing this camaraderie that was happening with all these people in the plane. I mean, we're talking a gathering with 10,000 people, and yes, connections were still happening even after the thing was done. The group spirit was so strong, and the flight attendant said, well, this is going to be a fun flight. Everyone's in a great mood. And indeed it was. And I do think it's an example from my own life experiences of how group spirit can continue on even after people are no longer doing the activity together that they had converged for. What I'd like to do now is share with you some examples of working with group spirit in a regular group form, a smaller spiritual community form, a spiritual group form. Within contemporary paganism, there are a number of words and phrases to describe spiritual communities. And Circle Sanctuary itself has used a variety of different terms over the years. We actually have embraced the church word early on in our formation, and the reason for doing that was to make sure that as we interfaced with the larger society, that it would position us to have the same rights as other religious groups and organizations. So, but there were times we have used a circle word for our group, an all-women's group within our community called Goddess Circle met for a number of years, and every month we would focus on a different form of the divine feminine, and we would invoke that goddess and honor the goddess and share information about that. So it was part study group and part working spiritual group. So we would call that a circle. I do full moon circle every month, which is a group of people that for many years we gathered in person, but since the pandemic has come about, we now gather online. In fact, on August 3rd, 2020, I'll be doing a Lammas Tide full moon circle. We'll have those in our community that are helping with the ceremony be on Zoom, and then we're going to live stream it to the Circle Sanctuary community Facebook page so even more people can join us. Some people who are involved in Wicca or other forms of the craft might use the coven word. Some people use the grove word. A number of Druid groups use that. Kindred is used by some of the Northern Way, some of the heathen groups. So there are a number of different words that are used to describe communities within the realm of nature, spirituality, and paganism. As a group forms, one of the techniques that I think is important is to find some way to begin a session together and to conclude a session together, whether one is doing ritual or doing a meditation or having a party. And to have a time where we all acknowledge the gathering and our connection. So part of it has to do with practice. For our full moon circle, an example of what we do is we kindle a candle, typically a tea light and a votive glass, and we each will kindle the candle, say our name, and what we are celebrating for that particular night. And yes, I've been able to do that on Zoom, and as we've changed our in-person to online. And then at the very end of our gathering, we take the candle and we express what we give thanks for, again, saying our name. So the idea of saying name and saying something at the beginning, saying name and giving a thanks, what one takes from one's encounter with the group spirit, in the divine form or forms that one's resonating with, is a really powerful way of being able to ritualize the group gathering and then dispersing. But there's other things that people may do. It may take the form of sitting in a circle and joining hands. It may take the form of doing a particular blessing or prayer or chant together. And in addition to having things for a group to do, to start and to conclude, then there's the work of the group together. And there are actual spiritual community tools that can be helpful for that. A particular symbol that the group has agreed upon to be the symbol for the group. For Circle Sanctuary as a community, we have a logo that came to me as I was helping Earth Circle back in 1974, and that's continued to be something that we as a spiritual community has used in connection with our work. And we've had buttons and t-shirts, and we've used that image on a variety of different things. I think most recently on some mugs and some water bottles. But having a common symbol that people can connect with, and when they aren't with the group, that symbol can be a really powerful way of tapping into that group spirit and the individuals within the group. Another thing that I have had direct experience with over time is to work with an actual group spirit tool. For about 20 years ago or so, at Circle Sanctuary, before our full moon circles transformed into a more open circle format, we do have people that have been part of our full moon circle for a number of years, but we have an open circle format which has other people joining us, and that's especially been the case now that we've taken our ceremonies online through live streams. But in our face-to-face setting back about 20 years ago, we decided that we would have more of a closed group so that we could strengthen the bonding that we had with each other. And then once a year, we would consider bringing in additional members if there were people that expressed an interest. So we did that for a number of years. And as part of our work with what we called the Circle Coven, we had a beautiful velvet bag, and each of us in the group brought a sacred object that represented us as soul beings to contribute to that bag. And that bag was held in the center of our circle for all of our ceremonies and for our socials as well. And so we ceremonially put our objects in the bag as we created that. We did a blessing on the bag as it being a group spirit symbol. And one of the real advantages of working with that form of group symbol, which had multiple objects but yet brought together in a container, is that as we changed the group over time, some members moved away, there was new people came in, we had a ceremonial way and a tradition that we had started working with that allowed us to ritualize the coming and goings of members. So as a person was called to leave the group, they might be moving a job change or going off to school in another place, we would have a ceremony of farewell for the group member. We would open up the bag. That member would take the object if they wanted to do that. And then we bid farewell. We expressed our appreciation for that member. And then we reassembled the other objects back in the bag after the person had left. And it was a ritual way of changing our group components. And after a number of years, as we made the decision for the group to let the closed group form shift, we worked with that bag one last time and opened it up and let each of us take our objects. And then some people chose to put the object that had been in that bag all that time out on the land. We have a beautiful stone circle atop our ritual mound. It's microlithic. The stones aren't that big, but it serves in a really wonderful fashion. So some of the objects ended up there. Some people put them at other sacred sites. Some took them home for their home altar. And so while many of us continued to stay connected together, the group as a whole no longer was in a physical form. It began morphing into the open circle that we presently have. So another thing that groups can do is to pick a particular color, a particular day, some other things that are connected with group formation or group inclination, and then on that anniversary date or on that special occasion, or if one was working with a particular color that was for the group itself would be working with that color while the group was together. And then when the group wasn't meeting, one could call that color up as a way of tuning into that group spirit. Connected with this, I'd like to also share with you a technique that a number of people have used, not just people involved in nature spirituality groups, but people who are working with consciousness in some other traditions. And the idea is to create a place using one's mind where the group would go to in a meditative or trance-like form. Now, sometimes this is called the magical workshop or the sacred circle or the laboratory. Yeah, I've heard it called a number of different things. Essentially, if you look at metaphysical literature, you'll find the term astral temple as a way of describing this. And so when you're working with that, you as a group, a member, and as a group as a whole, you collectively create the space, and that can be done in a ceremonial occasion, or if somebody's really good at crafting it and wants to pitch that to the group, then the group tweaks it. That's another way to make it happen. But to actually have an agreed upon image, an inner space place for the group to assemble. And one of the ways that is used is that when people are not connected face to face, but there was a need to do some working together, then the word would go out to group members to go and gather, and that would create an inner space for the group to gather. So, and sometimes the space might appear spontaneously to a group member while they were meditating or sleeping. And in that case, often that was a message from the group spirit to that individual to actually follow up with some direct communication with others who are part of the group. For healing work, those who are part of a group who had a particular healing need, a group could gather in that sacred space, that astral temple, connect with the one or more forms of the divine, in addition to the group spirit that the group resonated with, and then be able to create an environment to do healing work for the person in need. And this can be a very powerful thing, and it's something that works best for a group that is able to connect in multiple ways, face-to-face, but also through other means. That's not to say it can't be used for a cyber coven, but it can really deepen a connection when you are able to have face-to-face contact as part of the group's evolution. So what I'd like to do now is share with you some information about some other forms of spiritual community, and this is what I would call spiritual community across time. Any group that's been around for decades, such as Circle Sanctuary, will have members who cross over, they die, and while they're no longer in a physical form and are part of the spiritual community in a physical way, attending meetings and taking part in ceremonies, they are actually still part of the community, depending on the particular orientation of the group and what that group thinks about it. What I have found is that at Samhain time, in many traditions, this is a time for honoring ancestors and beloved dead, and the beloved dead includes those members of the spiritual community that have crossed over. And one way of being able to do that is to actually have an altar set up with images of them. Another way is to actually do some kind of calling of their names or some kind of honoring of them. So a group that's a spiritual community does not necessarily have to be made just of the people who are presently incarnate. It indeed can go across into the other world and include those who have been part of it in the past and that are now there in a spirit form. Building on this, I also would like to talk a bit about spiritual community in an even more universal sense involving going across time and space. There are a variety of people who have contributed to a particular form of religion, spirituality, philosophy, writers, teachers, musicians, artists, leaders, and they too can be part of a spiritual community, whether they are alive or not. If they have been part of the process of that community growing and developing, they are part of that more more universal sense of community. And as we look at not only small groups and larger community groups, but even larger collections of spiritual communities, then we get into the realm of spiritual tradition. And a spiritual tradition is a set of beliefs and practices that get passed down multi-generationally. And so there are many traditions within contemporary paganism and nature spirituality. Some are quite young. They're still in their formative stages. And some are older. Some groups and traditions, teachings, and those who've gone before go back many, many decades. And I know of some that have some roots back in the 19th century. And indeed, honoring ancestors, the term ancestor, spiritual ancestors as part of spiritual community practice is something that is a really powerful way of connecting beyond the here and now. And I do think as nature spirituality continues to grow and develop, it is important to remember those who have gone before, to pay respects, to honor them, and on the other side of it, to also lay the groundwork for those who are yet to come, for those who are not yet born. In addition to looking at ancestral and future generations as part of spiritual community, it's important to look at spiritual community heroes, sheroes, those who have been able, as part of their life, to go and help others and to actually make a mark in some way. And I know that as we look at different forms of the divine, it is important to take a look to some of the classical pagan cultures where those who had served the larger culture well were honored during life, but after death in particular. And so there's a way to actually honor some that perhaps the group itself may not have had direct contact with, but who have experienced some influence from it. Indeed, in my own life, as I came into adulthood in my early teen years, I began working for civil rights, for racial equality. And just as I'm doing this podcast here in late July 2020, a contemporary and a leader of the civil rights movement in America, John Lewis, crossed over, and there's been a six-day period of remembering him and honoring him. He's an example of what some people might call a hero because of his work on behalf of others. And it goes beyond the fact that he was at that bridge in Selma, which I do join with others in hoping that that bridge gets a new name and his name can be put to the bridge. But he was committed to voter equality, voting rights. He dedicated his life to that. And while his religious orientation, different than mine, clearly looking at his determination and his resilience and his kindness and his ability to work on behalf of equality, liberty, and justice for all people has been inspirational. So as part of spiritual community life, some spiritual communities may also honor as part of their coming together, their convergence, those who aren't directly part of their tradition or part of their community, but have derived inspiration. So how do you find spiritual community? You know, it, for many people, having their own personal practice is really important, and that's the case for me. But I also see great value in finding some form of group to be able to connect with. We're in the middle of a pandemic right now, which means that it's best to do social distancing and not be in large groups of people. And I know from my interfaith work and also being on some conference calls with religious leaders from a variety of different churches and spiritual denominations and traditions, that it's been really tough not to meet face to face. We are one of the many spiritual communities from across the U.S. and around the world that's continuing to stay, have our facilities closed, but continuing to be online, and indeed me doing not only the podcast, because I've been doing podcasting for a number of years as an audio way of connecting, but also doing this Facebook live stream is an additional way of providing connection during this time. And I do think that cyberspace can be a really powerful way to converge with others. You do not have to be part of a regular community that meets at a particular time. Often it's once a week or once a month. You can be part of what I call pop-up spiritual communities. And indeed, one way of doing that is taking part in some type of spiritual activity online. Now, in making selection, I invite you to use your own good judgment and critical thinking, as well as your intuitive ability, to get a sense of what's really going to be a good fit for you with the group and for the group and you, and to really let your own connection with the divine guide you in your belongings. I do think through the power of cyberspace, we have more opportunities to converge and to do community work together, to share ideas, to share experiences, to be present with each other. So I would invite all of you who are listening live, as well as those who are going to join us in what I call time release, listening and watching later, I invite you all to take a few moments right now and experience yourself as part of a community gathered to reflect and to learn about spiritual communities. Experience yourself as part of a group that is gathered through internet radio and through internet video. See what impressions come to you about the group that we have converged tonight. And if you wish to share any of that, I invite you to do so in the chat, those of you who are on the Facebook Live. And you get a sense of us tuning in together from around the world. Indeed, as I've seen the comments come in, I see that we're having people not only from across the U.S., but from many places. So I invite you now to experience yourself as part of this moment of convergence. And I invite you in a way that works for you to connect with a universal love within yourself, the divine within, and to let that flow out to this community that has converged for this. As you share from deep within, you contribute to a wonderful presence that you can indeed also receive from. And I invite you to now think of us here gathered, not only at this moment, but because of the miracles of cyberspace that allow viewing and listening later, that we're actually converging community across time and space. And now I invite you to consider us now being part of a much larger circle of humanity that is finding ways of connecting, of providing support to each other in sacred ways and honoring the sacred across time, around the world, and in different ways. And if it feels appropriate to do so, I invite you to send forth prayers of well-being, not only for humankind on planet Earth, but for the great circle of life that has its home here, experiencing yourself as part of the great web of life. Sacred Spirit, around us. Sacred Spirit, within us. Sacred Spirit, around us. Sacred Spirit, within us. Sacred Spirit, around us. Sacred Spirit, within us. Sacred Spirit, around us. Sacred Spirit, connects us. Sacred Spirit, within us. Sacred Spirit connects us. Sacred Spirit inspires us. Sacred Spirit around us. We honor the divine as one and as many. We honor the divine in our own lives, in our own traditions, in our own paths of spirituality, philosophy, religion. And may we carry with us the realization, the understanding that we all are interconnected and that we can tap into that interconnectedness to not only lend support, but to receive support. That we may have social distancing, but we can have spiritual connection, which can help us not only during the challenges of the pandemic, but can help us work together for a healthier, more balanced, happier, abundant post-pandemic reality. Thank you all for tuning in to Nature Spirituality tonight, to my Align with Divine series. And we have all of our episodes archived at the CSNP, part of the Circle Sanctuary website. So if you would like to connect with some of the other episodes, you can go there. And I also have some of these archived as live streams on my Facebook page. So those of you who have been joining by Facebook Live, I invite you to share something that you carry with you from our time together tonight. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast, I invite you to also reflect on that. And should you wish to share information with me, you can do so by writing me, sending me an email, selena@circlesanctuary.org. We give thanks to spiritual community, the divine essence that connects us together. We connect with spiritual communities of many types, small groups, family groups, household groups, religious community, spiritual community groups, philosophical groups that come together. Yes, indeed, I include in the big umbrella term spiritual community not only those who might own the word spiritual and religious for themselves, but secular humanists, atheists, agnostics, freethinkers is my preferred term. Indeed, we can have that resonance, whether we're really focused on religiosity or not, in its myriad forms. Indeed, what is something that all these sacred forms of the divine have in common, but the concept of love? Some have said God is love, Goddess is love, Great Spirit is love. Well, I see that love is something that's universal. It goes across many traditions, and it is part of that interconnecting force and source that we can experience on an ongoing basis. And part of the way of doing that is allowing ourselves to evolve our identity, to actually recognize we may be part of multiple spiritual communities, not only pop-up communities that surround a workshop, a podcast, a live stream, but at times people may experience that at events that wouldn't necessarily be considered spiritual events. Some people experience that at gatherings, at political rallies, at sporting events, at concerts. And now with the pandemic, where we're doing a lot of things online, we have the opportunity to expand our way of relating with each other. And so I do think that regardless of how your spiritual practice is and whether you prefer to do a lot of things on your own or whether you really are more group-oriented, you know, spiritual community can be something that you can weave into your spiritual life as a sacred form. Give thanks to the spiritual community or communities that you are part of. And I give thanks to those connected with Circle Sanctuary for the support of this internet ministry of connection and ceremonial encounter and workshops. Thanks to David and Jeanette Ewing for doing engineering for this show, to Deborah Rose and Laura Gonzalez, who along with the Ewings all do podcasts as part of CSNP, our internet radio network. I give thanks to Casey Pope, who helps us with social media, to Bob Paxton, who monitors and manifests our website. I want to give thanks to all of our core folks at Circle Sanctuary, as well as our members and that larger circle of community connectedness that we have. So as we prepare to end tonight, giving thanks to the divine as one, as many, giving thanks to the divine within each of you, within our communities, and within all of nature. Divine, be in us, be with us, guide us, now and in times to come. So mote it be. And now, as we conclude, just a few announcements. Lunasa is happening in the Northern Hemisphere this coming weekend. Circle Sanctuary is continuing its work on having online festivals for the Sabbaths. And on Saturday, August 1st, 2020, we are having our very first virtual Green Spirit Gathering. Green Spirit is the name that we use for the festival. Most people call Lunasa or Lammas. I'm doing a workshop talking about celebrating Lunasa and Lammas as part of our event on Saturday. If you're a Circle Sanctuary member, and there's information at the Circle Sanctuary website where you can learn about membership, what that's about, and sign up for it if you wish to do that. So members, we're having come and be part of our event as a free thing, and then people that aren't members but want to check us out, we're inviting everyone to contribute $10 if you can, U.S., to help us with our economics during this pandemic time. I'm also on Monday night doing the Full Moon Circle, and if you're a member, yes, that's also free. If you aren't, we invite you to make some kind of contribution if you can. If you can't, that's okay. We'll be live streaming that on Facebook at the Circle Sanctuary community page. And our Lunasa event, our Green Spirit Festival, we're trying something new this time. We're actually going to broadcast with Teams. It's a Microsoft product. You don't have to get apps. You don't have to get software. All you need is a device that will hook up to the internet and have a good working browser. So it can be a desktop computer, it can be a tablet, a phone, a laptop. And we invite everyone who wants to be part of our Lunasa Festival to go to the Circle Sanctuary website, go to the Green Spirit page, you'll see the schedule there, and then you'll find a place to register there. So go ahead and register. Register as soon as possible. On Friday, July 31st, you'll receive an email with the link to our event. And then on Saturday, all you have to do is click on the URL, and voila, you'll be at our festival. We've been trying a whole variety of ways of doing Sabbath, so we thought that this will be a more universal and an easier way for people, because not everybody does social media and not everybody really wants to wrap their brains around cyber tech. So all you do is click on the URL in your email, and then that should take you right into our gathering. Some of our things during the gathering will be pre-recorded. I'm doing my workshop live, so it'll be a live stream, and we also hope to have those things available for viewing later. In addition, I have another podcast. I do Nature Mystic is my podcast on Sundays, and in late afternoon on Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time, so this would be August 2nd, I have an encore of my Plant Spirit Lunasa ritual, and that dates back to 2013. So you'll have a chance to travel through time and be part of a ceremony that I conducted in the past. So thank you all again for tuning in. I invite you to give some feedback in the comments here, or comments on my social media Facebook. I look at the comments there quite a bit. I'm also on Instagram, as is Circle Sanctuary, and on YouTube, as well as on Twitter. Well, be safe, be well, let love and kindness dwell within and be expressed without and be around you and within you. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks again for being part of our time together tonight. And once we conclude, I will head over to my office indoors and take a look at the various comments that have come in. Many blessings. So be it. Spiritual community, we give thanks to thee. Blessed be.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burned with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community,
candle wavers. Many spirits join.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.